Is weird, odd, strange, or just plain bizarre is really your cup of tea? Then, the Golden State Media Concepts Weird News Podcast will give you that fix. Can't believe it? Well, listen for yourself as Jordan and Keith delivers the strangest news you definitely won't find on CNN or Fox. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Weird News Podcast.
Setting out to prove that the Earth is flat and you're all just being unreasonable, it's the Golden State Media Concepts Weird News Podcast with Jordan. And since Keith couldn't be here this episode, he's teaching underprivileged children how to salsa dance, still just Jordan once again. So, you know, I hope you guys just enjoy just me here. I'm going to do everything that I normally do in, you know, a very Jordan-like fashion. So without further ado, let me jump right into these stories. I'm going to open up with something that I guess we all hear rumors about. It's something that you're like, huh, yeah, I heard a guy that learned how to speak French after, you know, waking up from a coma and he couldn't speak English. Well, this is a story that has actually happened, and you don't have to take the word of your coworker and or family member. This is a story about Mr. Roy Calloway. That's right, the Roy Calloway, the man that was 78 from Swansea. Now, this man lived an average life, as we all know, with Roy Calloway. He is just, you know, hanging out around town, just doing his deeds. All of a sudden, he suffers from a stroke. Now, I don't know much about strokes, you know, or, you know, if I do. I can say this, they're not good. Particularly, you know, I've never heard a lot of great stroke stories, but this man's really breaking the mold on strokes. See, he recovered from a stroke, and due to his losing one of his friends, his son had a the friend's son had a piano that, you know, needed an owner. He asked if he can Mr. Roy can hold the piano in his house just for storage for a while. And when Roy fiddled around on the piano, he realized that he could play it perfectly. Now, that is very impressive. So hold your applause, because I can't, you know, hear them, and I have to keep talking. I don't know how to gauge that. So Roy just had no idea, had never played a piano in his life. He just sat down at it, hit a few keys, and he realized he's freaking Beethoven. Now, I don't know about you guys, but this is one of those weird stories where you hear somebody with a terrible disease, and they've got the best case scenario of that disease, where there is no way that's going to happen. Lightning's not going to strike twice, right? Unless, you know, you're holding a large metal beam. Not the point. I'm digressing. Though, it kind of puts you in that situation with, if I had a stroke and everything turned out okay, I wonder if I could play piano, which is never a good way to be. You never want to wish for a stroke, right? That's terrible. How dumb of me to say. But what if 50% chance out there, maybe 21% chance. All right. It's not a cool disease. But what if I came out of it and now I'm a musical master? Or what if I'm speaking several languages? Definitely probably wouldn't happen. No, of course not. But what if? So to all of you people out there that think a stroke or just anything that's deadly is just bad news, well, take it from Mr. Roy Calloway, who's 78 years old from Swansea, as I once said. There is some weird chance that this can turn out in your favor. So look on the bright side, people in hospital beds. And that is our hopeful news of the day, keeping things optimistic and flowing smoothly like a river or some other cool metaphor. So I'm not going to lay down onto that too much, because as you guys know, weird news should always be depressing. So I'm going to just hit right back with something that's going to go ahead and make us all sad again, or at least, you know, lose a little faith in humanity. Because if I can do one thing in this episode or this entire show, nay, I would like for you to all lose your faith in humanity. But let's go on. Let's progress through, because maybe that won't happen. So there was this man here, and he was in St. Louis hanging around, as people in St. Louis do. I don't have to explain to you people. We've all been to St. Louis once when we were, you know, certain ages. So he's hanging around there. He goes to a gas station, and he tries to steal a bag of Flamin' Hot Cheetos. Now, you can already tell this is a guy, he's thieving, and he's thieving a snack that I'd like to say is below the pay grade of what I'm into. So nothing good's going to come out of this. No offense to Flamin' Hot Cheetos lovers. I know there's a lot of you out there. I realize I'm in the minority of the snack, but hey, opinions are opinions, right? So this man is trying to steal from it, and the gas station clerk is, like, turning him down, saying, hey, you know, I recognize you. You're that guy who's trying to steal things from my gas station frequently. If you're not going to pay for those Flamin' Hot Cheetos, put them down, right? So the man, who we're going to go ahead and call him Joshua Lee Crook, as if that was his, you know, some kind of name that we use, an alias, although that is his real name, that is Joshua Lee Crook. And we're going to say he's 33, and that is because he's also 33. He kind of doesn't take the manager reacting to him trying to steal from his store too well. And who would? God, I hate it when people try to call me out when I'm stealing. It really is a day ruiner. So he does what any normal, you know, good American would do. He pushes the manager, and then he punches him and assaults him, punches him in the face. Now, that's your strike too, Mr. Crooks. Which, by the way, your last name is Crooks. I'm not reading into this, but I've just got to tell you, you've already, like, you were born with a name that's not really suited to it. You shouldn't steal if your last name was David McThief, you know? But that's another point. So, once again, don't want to get in any tangents here. So, he's still mad after punching a manager in his face over Cheetos. I mean, this is a real anger problem. He goes out, grabs a pump, you know, a gas pump nozzle, and he starts spraying it all around the gas station. Now, he sprayed the entire thing down. There is a giant pool of gasoline at a gas station. I don't have to be a scientist to tell you guys there's a good chance that's not a good thing in any situation. Now, to add insult to injury, he's not just trying to, like, be intimidating. He grabs a cigarette, and he lights the cigarette, smokes a couple puffs, tries to look like the cool guy in the action movie he clearly wasn't from the beginning, and he throws the cigarette down at the puddle of gas. Due to a very, you know, gracious, I don't know if it was wind flow or what have you, but the cigarette failed to light the gas, and the authorities were able to come and then put Mr. Crooks to jail, where obviously, I don't know, don't need to be a scientist, definitely belongs in a jail. You're crazy. You're crazy if you want to punch a man for the sake of Flaming Cheetos, but then burn down the store with him in it. That is crazy person behavior. And don't go out and say, hey, not everybody's crazy that tries to burn down a gas station. Don't, you know, no, you clearly are. Don't burn down gas stations. So, Mr. Crooks, I feel pretty safe about saying this. Not too smart. And I guess I feel very safe saying that because you're in jail right now. So, you know, glad that you're doing okay, Mr. Manager. Glad everything's fine for you. Now, if we're going to keep talking about things that are, you know, kind of hitting the realm of, you probably shouldn't have done that, allow me to hit on further, okay? I'm going to jump right into Iceland. That's right, Iceland, home of, I'd have to hope, ice, unless, you know, the media's been lying to us. So Iceland is, you know, a beautiful place, judging by the pictures, never been. It's not like St. Louis. Not everyone has their day in the sun there. Through Iceland, though, there was a giant boulder. Now, this boulder was apparently an enchanted elfin rock. Now, when workers building a highway in Iceland accidentally covered up some debris on, you know, and covered the, you know, sacred elf boulder, I'm really trying to, like, quantify. I'm trying to say something that's very respectful to elves out there, because apparently there's a big enough population. You'll understand what I'm talking about. Now, I'm not going to try to pronounce any of these names correctly, so you're going to have to bear with me. Mr. Svein, or Sven, I'm going to go ahead and say Sven, Zofenazen, all right, pretty good job, I'm going to say. I mean, I could be totally wrong, but from my best judgment, that came out a lot better than I was expecting. He was working on the site when all of a sudden, through the so-called Elfin Lady Stone, things started going very wrong as soon as it was covered. Nobody even thought of the rock originally. It was an artifact, according to 2012 law, to protect Iceland's elfin heritage. But it was, you know, it's just a rock. We got a highway to build. But things kind of started getting off track. Machinery constantly was starting to break down. People were kind of getting injured, you know, weird technical difficulties were coming on. And a man who came out to, you know, do the media report on it, saying, hey, what's going on here? What's up, guys? All of a sudden fell into a mudslide and had to be rescued out. So at this point, they thought, we probably shouldn't mess with elves. and they immediately started cleaning up this elfin lady rock. Once again, couldn't even begin to tell you why it's the lady rock. It's just, it's a giant rock. And fixed everything up. Now, I know what you guys are thinking. Are elves really a big deal in Iceland? Or is this some sort of offensive stereotype? I don't know. I really couldn't tell you for sure. I did some research on this story because this was an interesting one. I mean, we have a lot of interesting ones, but this one kind of hit me at home where I wanted to see what was going on with it. So as I was continuing to look around it, I saw one statistic that said 54% of people in Iceland that believe in elves. Could be wrong, but through the story, I have heard that a lot of people do a lot of things based on superstition in Iceland, including fishermen sometimes don't always go out if they have bad heating signs from elves. They're, you know, just things that people try to avoid doing to disrespect elves. There's actually even a school in Iceland called the School for Finding Elves and Hidden People. And for $54 American, you yourself can go on and check out the school. I made a call, checked it out. There's a lot of interesting things you can go through at the school. It's a day class. It would only take 4 hours. I think if I'm ever in Iceland, I could definitely give it a try. But I got a lot of interesting facts. I was on the phone for 20 minutes with the man. Very nice man. He was a headmaster of the elf school. So to anybody that's interested in going to check out the elf school, yeah, I'd say put it on your map or at least your list of things to do when visiting Iceland. But with that being said, we're going to have to cut to a commercial break. When I come back, we're going to get to the nitty-gritty. I know what you guys are waiting for. Someone died from a hickey, of course, and we're going to really investigate all of that into this episode of Weird News. So you guys stick around, and we will see you very soon. I mean it.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's GSMCpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Hey guys, glad to be back. Hope you guys enjoyed that commercial. So I'm going to keep talking about weird news. It's kind of what we do here. Don't know if you picked that up yet. Now, we just had a superstitious story going on. We had people in Iceland bowing down to elves, which, you know, that's going to happen. I guess in any kind of country, there's going to be that one thing that pushes you overboard, and you're going to go, huh, better do what those elves do, or at least what they tell us to do. At least let's not make them angry. There's another country here, Nicaragua. Now, this is a country that instead of elves were the problem, it was goblins. Not just any goblins. Evil goblins. That's right, E-V-I-L, those kind of goblins, the dangerous ones. So this is about a group of evil goblins that captured a woman and kept her in a cave for 5 days and 6 nights. That's spooky. Gosh, you know, I wanted to go to Iceland. I was up for the elves. They felt like people to be revered, creatures to watch out for, but at the same time to respect. Goblins, though, nothing good comes out of these goblins. This is something that's pretty intimidating. So there's this woman who said that she was captured by goblins, and they kept her there in this cave for a while. The woman, she only gave her name out as Miss Jasmina. Understandably, she didn't want to give her full name. She told a Nicaraguan TV station that these evil gnomes had lured her away from her home in Monte Oscuro in West Nicaragua. And this would happen when she was a child. This didn't just happen last week. So if you guys are asking for photos of it, maybe camera phones weren't so popular back then. Give her a break. So she claimed that she spent, you know, a long time up in this cave. She said that they appeared one day when she was playing and they took, and I'm going to quote her here, "They appeared one day when I was playing and they took me away. They were playing with me and they used this to lure me away towards the hill. They put me in a cave and they kept me in there for 5 days and 6 nights." Wow, right? That's you know, this is one of those stories where I really want to know every little detail about it, and I know as much as I'm going to tell you guys, but this is one of those things that as much as we want, like, as weird as the stuff we do know, it can only go, it can only get weirder knowing more. It's not like, it's a good thing we don't know enough about it. That's what's going to make it weird. No, I feel like this would only get stranger as we learned what, you know, what was really going on there. So, according to the report from the news, Jasmina was eventually rescued by her family after they took advice from a local witch. A local witch. So she was found by a search team in the cave, and 15 years earlier, another victim had been abducted, once again, by gnomes or fairies or goblins. The story is kind of using three different words to describe them. I guess just, you know, small little monsters. And according to them, the goblins and fairies live among a lot of the Nicaraguan indigenous communities. So there's a few guidelines to it. They say that there's many of these creatures and they live around the hills. And they say they stay away from the church and they exist in areas nearby. A local added that there are a lot that live in San Silvestre and around it, and they stay away from the church, and they also exist in the other areas nearby. And in San Jose, they live in another hill there, and they communicate from hill to hill. So I guess we could call them hill people, maybe even hillbillies. But you better watch out for them, people of Nicaragua, because they have one central cave they like to take people to, and they just like to keep them there. God, there are so many questions I have about this story. I mean, I'm clueless. I'm stunted. I don't understand anything that we're... I'm wondering, like, if, you know, if this is a lie, if there are no... God forbid, if there are no gnomes or goblins or fairies in the world, what's the real story behind this? I mean, you can chalk the elves up to just a terrible coincidence. You can chalk that up to something that's, you know, unusual. You've had a few technical difficulties, but, you know, probably wouldn't blame it on the elves. But... your daughter has been abducted for days and nights, and you didn't know where to look, except for these goblins that took them. The real story has to be incredibly interesting, right? But, you know, maybe we'll never know how she was kidnapped and she was taken away. Maybe it was a story that was made up. Maybe it was a bunch of short men that dressed up like gnomes with fake beards and then came at her. And then pretended to be goblins. There's a lot of ways this story can go, but the important thing is nobody got hurt in the end, except for maybe, I don't know, goblins, but they're not really real, so it doesn't matter. I don't know what the witch did after this whole situation. So anyways, I'm going to go on to one of the bigger stories here. A kid that died from a hickey. Now, this is something that our parents have been warning us about for years now, and we never listened. We never listened. But apparently there was some merit to them saying wait till marriage to give each other hickeys because there's some terrible scenarios that could happen. So a boy, and this happened in Mexico City, like the other story we had last episode with the drunken grandpa Bender, who, which by the way, if I can go on that happened in Chihuahua, Mexico. I didn't mention that last time. I think that bears to be said. You know, Chihuahua, Mexico. He... was a 17-year-old, and he was dating his 24-year-old girlfriend. He suffered a stroke that doctors reportedly think was caused by the hickey, a blood clot created from it. The teenager had convulsions and during a family dinner, and then he died. Now, his 24-year-old girlfriend is in hiding right now because the family didn't really approve of their relationship in the first place, what with the whole age difference of, you know, gosh, 8 years, I'd say. It's not a good way to handle things. I'm 7 years, sorry. My mathematician's currently away sick, so I'm doing all the math in this story by myself. But this is one of those really bizarre oddities that make me just never want to get kissed on the neck again. I don't know about you guys, but if you're all thinking, huh, I could sure use a good neck kissing, I'd be careful. There's a lot of danger to it, apparently. And this isn't the first time that this has ever happened, either. In 2010, there was a New Zealand medical journal that wrote up about a 44-year-old woman who was rushed to the hospital after losing movement in her arm under mysterious circumstances. The doctors couldn't understand what was going on at first until they noticed that there was the bruise, you know, on her neck and figured the suction on a major artery created a blood clot that caused a minor stroke. But that woman survived. But I think if we can get anything away from the story, it is be incredibly careful when you're smacking on your honey. I mean, there cannot be anything that's too safe. And, you know, we only worry about hickeys as being this weird, you know, blemish on our socially, but it is just as much on our health, apparently. I was shocked by this. I remember being a cool, like in school, and I thought all the cool kids have hickeys. They have hickeys and sunglasses, and the sunglasses are shaped like stars or their initials on each shade. But no, this is a bit more weirder, and it's a lot more dangerous. So, you know, if you guys out there have a kid, or you know, if you are a kid, you know, go ahead, show the kid this, or a kid that's listening to this, realize there's a lot more at risk than just your reputation with a hickey. And with that being said, we're going to be going to a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to be wrapping up this show in the only way I know how, which is to keep talking about stories you guys are interested in. So stick around, stay tuned, and I will see you very soon. That rhymed. That was cool. Okay. Won't do that again. Don't want to ruin it, but felt right. See you guys soon.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Are you guys ready for some more weird news? Of course you are. You've made it this far. This is, you know, this is that we hit that last minute mark. We're going to get right into it. Now, this is that other big story we kept talking about. This is about that 11-year-old boy. What kind of 11-year-old boy? Well, you've seen the episode title. You understand completely what I'm talking about. This is that 11-year-old boy that stole a bus and the passengers didn't even notice, okay? Now, all right. Now, I know what you're thinking. What city did this happen in? Where did... Oh, man. Was this a Georgia thing? Was this Alabama? Was this, I don't know, California? No, guys. It wasn't. It was in the good old city of Ingolstadt. That's right. Ingolstadt, Bavaria. A good old Bavarian city, if I do say so myself. So, this school kid, he stumbled on a... You know, he was just looking around, and he found the key to the bus. And it was lying on the street. Now, the bus was a privately owned vehicle, and it was just parked, and it wasn't in use. So the kid climbed onto the bus, he put in the key, and he was driving down the street, and he started picking up passengers. So he was able to pick up three different passengers, none of them saying anything about the fact that this is an 11-year-old kid. You know, I guess they thought everybody's got to work because everybody's got to eat, so they didn't really say anything about it. But after a while, people realize that this is a kid, that this is like an 11-year-old. This is a, you know, he's a child, and he is not as great as driving as other people. And maybe that's because he's 11. Maybe it's because he never really drove anything before. But they started to call the police to him, and they reported it. So the kid, I mean, and this is an innocent kid, right? He just wanted to be a bus driver. We've all grown up with that. I remember in class, they all had a... Let's take a vote, you know? Who wants to be an astronaut? Who wants to be a cowboy? And who wants to be a bus driver? Well, I gotta say, the bus drivers, the sheer number of people that had that dream, put the astronauts to shame easily. So that's something really that's I'm not surprised about. But the big conundrum is, how do three people go through and just think, business as usual? Huh, just another 11-year-old on another bus. It doesn't really, you know, it should ring a few more alarms than it did. But hey, that's not for me to judge. The important thing is this kid was taken back to his mom. You know, they gave him a little tussle in his hair. You know, a little, you know, shake his shoulder, say, you little scamp, and then, you know, let him go do his thing. And the bus ride, nobody was hurt, and there was no major harm to the boy or to the road, nothing. So it was a victimless crime. And maybe it taught this kid a very invaluable lesson that if you want something bad enough, and if you find an opportunity of that thing that you want bad enough on the ground, right next to, once again, a thing you want bad enough, a bus, just do it, because you only live once, right? Maybe that's the wrong lesson to impart on this kid. Maybe that's the last thing he should say. But hey, nobody got hurt, and you can chalk that up to luck, or you can chalk that up to fate, that this kid was meant to have one of the greatest occupations this world has ever known, which is to drive people to and from destination to destination. You're doing God's work, bus drivers. Just want you to know that. You're doing God's work. So now that we've talked about that, that was a story that I was really glad to really be able to, you know, discuss with you guys. I'm going to go ahead and jump right down to, you know, something else. I'm going to go to something that, you know, probably has nothing to do with buses, unless, you know, as I'm telling it to you, I realize, oh, wait, no, yeah, I forgot. There's that bus that got thrown into it. So there's this family in Turkey. Turkish is what they prefer to be called. They were poisoned at a family dinner to celebrate surviving food poisoning. Now, that's something that I guess you could call ironic. You could definitely call hilarious, especially since nobody was severely, you know, there were no deaths in it. It was just a learning experience. So this family was just enjoying their dinner. They were celebrating, actually, because they had an amazing meal cooked. They had a sacrifice to show a gratitude that their God, and you know, we're going to eat that sacrifice, you know, that with their friends and neighbors at a dinner party. It had a total of 25 people there. All of those people were completely sick from the, you know, the whole thing, which isn't just, you know, from the whole, oh man, now I got to go and see what the neighbors are doing. I have an obligation. They were sick from eating terrible food. So they were poisoned once again, along with the neighbors. And this is the quote that they said. We don't get it. First we were poisoned, and then we sacrificed an animal for God as a sign of gratitude for gaining our health back. Then we were poisoned once again, as well as the neighbors. May God save us from the worst. That's what it sounds pretty tragic. It sounds like you just built back up your, you know, your fruit cart stand, only for it to get run down again by the same, you know, crazy police chase from, you know, a cool action movie. So, of course, things always get worse, as they tend to do in the story. Now, this time, they had to make a return to the hospital from this meal with all of their neighbors and friends. A total of 25 people had to go to the hospital for food poisoning. And while 21 of them were able to go, you know, leave immediately, get discharged after their treatment, 4 of them had to remain in intensive care, because food prep and food cooking is not a game. That's something to take seriously. I don't know if everybody didn't know that, but you should know that at this point. So they commented on the whole thing, you know, saying that their whole family and now their friends, they're ill again. This happened twice now. That they're going to be more careful about preserving food. And they also said they were going to be more selective of their food after the incidents. To that, I have to say, that should have been the first thing you concluded against. That should have been, if you were sick from food poisoning, normally you go, huh, let's do everything we can to not get sick from food poisoning again. I mean, it happened to me. I don't eat gas station sushi anymore. I've avoided it. After losing 20 pounds in 2 days, I've learned my lesson. I didn't say, let's go get some more gas station sushi to celebrate recovering from the original gas station sushi, because then I would have been an idiot. But I'm glad everybody now, because I'm sure after all the story, there was no serious injuries. Like I said, we're all back, and it didn't involve buses. So that's another thing to be happy about. Everything's worked out well for everyone. So I'm happy for the families. You did great on learning your lesson. It took a couple tries, but hey, we got through it, didn't we? And that's what's important. So I'm going to go ahead and jump into our last story before we have to leave. I know, we have to go already. I'm so sorry, guys, but, you know, I will be back. Don't worry. And before I let you guys go, I'm going to finish with one more story, and this is going to top it off. And it's going to be something to leave for, you know, it's going to give you a little bit more hope. It's a story, actually, a continuation of something that we talked about before. Earlier in our, you know, weird news shows, we mentioned a story about Mr. Jack Sparrow, a chihuahua who was addicted to meth, and they, you know, were able to get him off the meth, and they were able to do everything they could for him. It was one of those stories where I kind of felt uneasy just talking about it, but it qualified as weird news just through the fact of poor chihuahuas. I used to own one as a kid. I've got a lot of sympathy for the animals. But I've got an update for Mr. Jack Sparrow that's going to be a little bit more positive, and it makes me very glad that we covered him in the first place. So Jack Sparrow, little cute guy, he had a little drug problem. Not his fault, of course, because dogs never volunteer for drugs, but, you know, not a great owner. So with this story, he was able to finally get clean, and he was actually adopted by the one of the workers at the drug and alcohol rehabilitation, the treatment center. Now, Jack's owner, for those of you that didn't know, he brought Jack in and said, "Hey, I think my dog may have eaten some meth because he was acting erratically and he was having seizures and he was convulsing." Once they took care of the dog and, you know, brought him back down to normal, the owner took off with Jack and, you know, tried to run away. Luckily, though, police found them and arrested the man, and they took the dog to, you know, a dog rehab of sorts. Now, the woman that treated him, and after the detox, she adopted Jack, and he was now a little permanent, he has a permanent home in the rehabilitation center. The people that were, you know, benefiting from his company, they decided to rename him Micah, which means new beginnings. And now, and I'm misquoting the owner here, they say, "I think they had an instant bond with him. When he first came in and they heard his story, many of them could relate to him. They seemed to have had that instant connection with him, wanted to bond with him, and wanted to show him love," Miss Aaron Hill said. You know, Mr. Jack's new owner. So I guess there is a happy ending after all. This dog is no longer, you know, accidentally ingesting drugs, and he's helping inspire other people that have, you know, been hooked on it to get off. So I salute you, Jack Sparrow. Your story has been beautiful, and I am glad we got to follow it since the beginning. And with that being said, guys, that is the end of our show. I know it happened so quickly for me, too. But hey, don't worry, okay? Because we're going to have a lot more stuff coming up next week, and I hope you guys are having a great one on that end. And, you know, if anything, you know, cool news happens, or especially weird news happens, let us know, because that's kind of our whole thing here. So with all this being said, good night and good luck.